Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the MCU for Dummies. I am dummy number one, Ken. That is dummy number two, Lou. And we are the Posers, bringing you a quick recap of Black Widow. Lou, a long-awaited Marvel release. We saw the demise of Nat at the end, or middle, I should say, of Avengers Endgame. And since that movie, where she did not get a funeral, we have all been waiting for this release, for the story of Natasha Romanoff. Lou, did it live up to the expectations, not only that it's set in Endgame, but then it's set because of a global pandemic that pushed the release of the movie over a year from when it was initially due to be launched?
Yeah, I think it was a good movie. It's obviously not on the same terms as like Civil War, Winter Soldier, and then what I think are the better movies in the MCU, Infinity War and Endgame, but it was a really solid solo movie. And up until the point where the story kind of maybe dipped a bit to drag, you got the most intense action scene of them fighting on a pad in the sky and then skydiving down, that kind of distracted you for the final 15 minutes and so. So I thought it was, for any faults or so, it's definitely going to be forgiven by the audience. And I think Miles Suri from the Ringer sums it up pretty well in his recap, quoting, saying, "Is Black Widow too late, too little too late for Natasha Romanoff?" I guess so, but also they had to go through the pandemic. And it sounds like most people are forgiving it based on how it's done at the box office and the general conversation on social media. But what did you think? Ken, who's currently in this conversation on Skype as the, what are you, the Crimson...
The Crimson Dynamo.
So I'm here tonight with the Crimson Dynamo. Last week he was Richard E. Grant. So Crimson Dynamo. What did you think?
Lou, I really liked it. I was under the impression, and like, this is MCU for Dummies, right? So we're not posing, to use the same joke twice in the opening 4 minutes. And I'm not pretending when I say like I didn't know anything about the MCU when we got into it, right? I only got into it because of Infinity War, and I only went to see Infinity War because I had my appendix out. It was the only thing I could do to leave the house. So like I don't know Nat, right? I don't know Black Widow, and I didn't know her from the start, right? I had seen Iron Man when I was a kid, and like I don't know, I just never had this connection to Black Widow as a character that many other comic fans did. So I didn't expect to really like this movie. I thought it would be fine, right? I thought it'd be a solo film of a character that, you know, really, to me, didn't need one, right? Because I knew who she was throughout the Infinity Saga. And to me, that was good enough. But I know for comic fans and for fans of the MCU in general, that was never enough for Nat, right? So they needed a little bit more. They wanted a little bit more color, right? Filling in her ledger in some red, if you know what I mean. I didn't expect to like it. I thought it was going to be fine. I thought it was going to be kind of just a regular old superhero, beat 'em up, bad guy type thing, yada, yada, yada. But man, I liked it. I liked it a lot. I thought, and I sent this tweet out on the MCU for Dummies account. Go give us a follow. I think it was the best hand-to-hand combat we've seen in the MCU potentially ever. You could probably give me some Civil War, or maybe Falcon and Winter Soldier, the Disney Plus series, as like two maybe of the more hand-to-hand combat films. But man, Black Widow is so grounded, right? It's so human. And like, I don't know, like that was some of the best action we've seen in a long time. And it was also one of the funniest movies in the MCU.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, David Harbour was top-notch, and Florence Pugh cannot be beaten, right? Yeah. I mean, we've now seen her in Little Women, Midsommar, and Black Widow as three incredibly different characters with three incredibly different accents, and she's hilarious and gorgeous and brilliant in all three, and everything else she's done in her career probably that I just don't recall. But honestly, it was a good movie. It served its purpose. It maybe was too little too late, right? It's hard to live up to being the, the movie post-Endgame anyway, and then to be delayed a year, and then to have so much leak about it and have so much hype build up around it for over a year past your initial release is tough. But man, it was good to be back. it felt like you were back, didn't it?
Yeah, that was a good recap by the Crimson Dynamo. Ken and I both saw it in the movies. I went to go see it in IMAX, which I thought was pretty intense, especially in those action scenes. But you're right, I'll echo a lot of what you said. I think it was some of the best hand-to-hand combat since Captain America Winter Soldier, Falcon Winter Soldier. I think a lot of those scenes with Cap, because he doesn't have any special powers besides his big shield, and him and Bucky fighting, Bucky's got his knife and such. Those were really good scenes. I would raise the question, first before that, I think Nat is the Wanda before Wanda, if that made sense. Like, everyone knew Wanda's story, kind of. They got the gist of it. But Nat, from like the very beginning, was always this phrase is used a lot, the comfort character, the one that you knew had a really troubled past, but we got the most exposure to her, and it just seemed like you wanted something good to happen. I think we got that in this movie. What I'll ask you is Florence Pugh the best co-star in a solo movie in the MCU? Now, we can go through each of them really quick. So Incredible Hulk, I don't think there's a contender. Iron Man 2, I guess you're looking at Don Cheadle, right? So would you put Florence Pugh above it? Maybe.
I think, Lou, your question leads me into my next point.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to peel back the curtain a little bit on the MCU for Dummies. Hello,
pull
folks.
Back the curtain.
We are the wizard. We are the wizard behind the big machine operating, you know, running the whole shebang here. We are very excited. We have a really cool conversation coming up with @RejectedHannah, the co-host of the Cinemania World podcast, who is going to join us in just a little bit on this episode to talk about Black Widow. And so many of these questions, Lou, we have for her. So I want to kind of save them a little bit. But the point I want to ask you a question about, and I also want to ask Hannah, but I'm interested in getting your unbridled opinion before we get Hannah's, is Black Widow was supposed to give us some color around Nat, her past, what got her to be an Avenger, what got her to call the Avengers her family, what got her on S.H.I.E.L.D.'s side, right? Since she was a widow. To me, I left the film going, wow, I want more stories from David Harbour, the Red Guardian. I want more stories from Yelena. I want more stories from Melina. And Nat is still a little bit of a mystery to me.
Yeah,
we didn't get a whole lot of filler on the Budapest situation.
It's likely to come in Hawkeye at some point.
You would hope, right?
It has to be. Because what else are they going to tell it?
That's my question to you, Lou. Are you still wanting for more Nat filler? Because I don't know if we got it there.
Yeah, in the 2-hour frame, I think they touched on a lot of good points. There was a lot of time spent with the David Harbour breaking him out of the prison. And I guess the intro of like when they went through the opening credits, I don't know, like the technical movie term here, kind of showed you some of the backstory of Nat without any description at all, but one can infer. But we basically just see Nat in this program with blue hair, and it goes from her childhood in Ohio, basically like a little bit of it, and then a lot of like little pieces to kind of help you form the puzzle but yourself. And then arriving at Cuba, and then flash forward 21 years later, and she's already the Black Widow.
You kind of skip over the part that everybody was most interested in learning about,
They could have given you more there. Yeah. But maybe they use that for Yelena, because it seems like she's going to be sticking around. And I guess like everyone's treatment was the same. There were a lot of gaps that really didn't explained well in this movie. Like I texted you about like the red powder that they administrated, and they got the Black Widows back in like their natural state. They weren't like brainwashed anymore. So that was one of the gaps that I thought was not really clear. Then you bring a good point that there's not a lot of backstory in Nat, but I still think the trade-off of like learning about this weird family she has and all those different characters was a good consolation prize. Yeah. I don't know. It made for a good movie. I thought that was fine. Right.
And I think our secondary characters are going to live on in the MCU. I mean, Melina is definitely sketchy, right?
She benefited from the Red Room falling.
Right. I mean, who just tries to suffocate a pig like that? I mean, come on. Like, that was weird. You're weird lady. Yelena obviously is going to continue to be a big part of the franchise moving forward, and Red Guardian is still out there. I mean, as we know, so. I mean, the events of Civil War did not take place that much before Endgame, right? So, I mean, we're still within like a decade of one another, maybe a few years on the younger side. So, I mean, all of those characters seem to still have a future here, just based on where everybody left off. And I think maybe that was the point. Right. Yeah. I mean, maybe it was to give you a little bit of closure, on that. And hopefully, like you mentioned, hopefully we get a little bit more on Budapest in the old Hawkeye series, because, man, it just seems like such a cool story. And yeah. I think we all want to know more, unless they don't actually have a story to tell and they just keep saying it and are going to keep like tugging your leg until the MCU just closes doors and Kevin Feige blasts off with Jeff Bezos onto the new International Space Station. Who knows?
Yeah. I do have a question. What did you think of the end, the post-credit scene? And what did you think about the Secretary Ross cameo throughout the movie?
Yeah. First off, I don't love the CGI on Secretary Ross. It is getting
kind of felt unnecessary.
It's getting a little uncanny valley for me. It's very noticeably not a person. So I'm going to need them to figure that one out. It kind of looks like Luke Skywalker at the end of The Mandalorian. Spoilers, by the way, if you haven't seen The Mandalorian.
big crossover here. If you haven't seen that.
Wow. Oof, boy. If you haven't, I think we're well past spoiler date. Also, by the spoilers way, for Black Widow. I mean, geez Louise. Hello.
By the way, the Winter Soldier is Bucky Barnes, if you didn't know. If you didn't know, he's that guy from Brooklyn.
Right, and Thanos wins at the end of Infinity War. So there we go. We've covered
it. Then he loses at Endgame. So.
Ah, shit.
And Iron Man's dead.
Anyway, where were we, Lou? Post-credit. Secretary Ross. He looks a little bit computerized. We need to figure that one out.
I mean, is that actor, he's not dead, right?
No. He's just very old. He just doesn't look like that.
I don't get it. Just put some powder on and just make him look younger. We don't have to flex the artificial intelligence here.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not my thing. So figure that one out, Marvel. Please, thank you, Marvel Studios. We very much appreciate it. That's number one. Number two, post-credit scene is really, really cool. I think there was, and we had heard these reports a long time ago when it came to Julia Louis-Dreyfus's character joining the MCU. Her first on-screen scene being during Falcon Winter Soldier with Wyatt Russell's character, now U.S. agent, then weird knockoff Captain America. And
with like 17 purple hearts.
Yeah, very strange, man. And we knew during that show, reports came out that she was supposed to premiere in Black Widow, but because it got pushed back so many times that they kind of made some switches around to her character. So she now premiered in Falcon Winter Soldier, and then shows up during the post-credit scene here with Yelena. Yelena, who, and we'll talk to Hannah about this, who very much... who it looks like very much blipped during the Thanos snap, which probably leans so much into why Nat was so aggressive during that time to get the Avengers back together and fix things up. And who is just unknowledgeable of the situation between Hawkeye and Nat on Vormir when doing their Soulstone thing. So the post-credit scene is very indicative of the fact that we are going Thunderbolts. I don't think there's any question about it.
Yeah. I think it'd be a movie or a TV show.
Oh man. I don't know. I don't know what they're planning here. Here's the thing. We're talking in July of 2021 right now. We've got movies scheduled through 2023. We're not talking about Thunderbolts until like 2024. And who knows if my heart's even going to last that long, man. So like, I don't know. I don't want to get my hopes up for anything.
Yeah, this guy does love bacon. I got a quick question. What Marvel's doing right now is actually like really interesting because Black Widow just came out, and then Loki's wrapping up on Wednesday. And then there's news that just broke out that Spider-Man Far From Home. Is it Away From Home? Is it Away Message? What's
no
the
way
new
home, called? Lou.
No Way Home. The trailer is coming out soon.
Yes.
So it's like, it's really crazy because then Loki's going to end and then we get the trailer and then I guess there's actually a gap there. And so
we get a little Shang-Chi.
What if in August? We get what if in August 11th, which is going to be weird.
We're Look, we're scheduled through the end of this year, and then there's a full slate of movies, which were supposed to be out this year, are now scheduled for 2022. So we're scheduled for a good 16 months.
Yeah, well, what's interesting is the TV shows, I don't know how far they go.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the question about the TV shows still, Lou, is are there going to be season twos?
Yeah,
we know, so like, there's going to be a Loki season two.
Hawkeye's going to be 2021. Moon Knight, yeah. I don't know if that's a movie or not. She-Hulk's going to be a show, I think.
Yep.
Secret Invasion's going to be a movie, right? Yep. Guardians of the Galaxy is going
to
be...
I don't know. Don't forget we have Secret Wars out there, too. Don Cheadle gets to flex his acting muscle.
Well, Armor Wars.
Iron Heart
is going to be a series. Armor Wars is going to be, I think, a series.
Yep.
And then on Wikipedia, it says Untitled Wakanda series, which I find is going to be really interesting. I know we're jumping all over the board here, and we're going to get Hannah really quick, but in 30 seconds, how do you think Marvel is going to handle the Chadwick Boseman thing? I know this has nothing to do with Black Widow.
Whoa, that's a curve. I was not prepared.
Really quick. I want to build the narrative here. What do you think they're going to do in like 30 seconds or left?
I think they're going to handle it very, very sincerely. I think they're going to give us some mourning at the top of the movie. The Black Panther has passed away.
But has he in the movie?
I think they're going to. I think that's how the movie is going to start. I don't know. I think
right,
it's going to be.
We'll build on it there.
Yeah, who the heck knows? All right, folks, like we said, we are going to bring on a very special guest today, at Rejected Hannah on Twitter, co-host of the Cinemania World, at Cinemania World on Twitter, is their podcast along with Alex Madden. And so stay tuned. We got a lot of Black Widow conversation coming up, and we will do that now. So welcome back. I know we did not have an ad read. We did not read any weird Manscaped ads. We are just back now with Hannah at Rejected Hannah, the co-host at Cinemania World. We are super, super, super happy to have her on. And Hannah, as I frequently do on the podcast, I want to peel back the curtain a little bit, show the folks a little bit of the wizard behind the curtain, the man pulling the levers. The only reason you're here today is because you had maybe one too many glasses of wine. Is that correct?
Oh, it's very true.
So what happened, Hannah? Tell us how you ended up here, because I don't think anybody would believe me if I said it.
On this podcast?
Yes. Well, I mean, hey, if you want to do the whole life story, you can, but we might have to edit it down just a bit.
I was just making sure. I mean, just talking about Black Widow on Twitter, like, as one does, and some people said, hey, you want to call it our podcast? And I said, absolutely.
Now, I believe you said at I don't know if it was late at night or early in the morning, you said you didn't remember a thing about the movie.
Oh yeah, no, definitely didn't. Because in my mind, I was like, so I have to watch this at home. I can't go to the theater because I still like don't really feel like all that safe going to a theater right now. And I was like, I better like just make the most of it. And decided to drink a little.
Good for you.
And a little turned into a little too much. And then watching the movie, nothing. Woke up the next morning and was like, definitely need a rewatch. Couldn't tell you a thing.
And I think Black Widow benefits a little bit from a rewatch. So I was lucky enough to go to a theater that was still kind of distanced a little bit. And was able to enjoy. I'm a big go to the movie guy. I really enjoy the theater itself, so was very happy to get there. First time I've been there in quite a while. And I believe Lou was able to see it in the theater as well, but he saw like a Friday matinee, like with a bunch of old ladies, I think.
Actually was next to, so I go in the theater. It's my first time in a movie theater since seeing Quentin Tarantino's Hollywood movie, whatever that is.
Yeah,
and I sit down, open theater, no one's there, and I sit down next to two chatty Cathys, and I'm just like, is this gonna be the whole time? Are they gonna be talking the whole time?
You know, like those types of IMAX, I believe.
Oh yeah, you gotta do it big. Ken, did you see the M. Night Shyamalan trailer and the Eternals trailer? Every time they did that whole like, oh, it looks good. Or like, oh, we should see that. Which is what everybody does in the movie theater. And I'm just like, yo, shut up, guys. Please.
It seems like matinee like MCU people like attract like that crowd.
Okay. It was 5 o'clock on a Friday. Give me a break. It wasn't like 2 o'clock.
It was close enough. It was close enough. So Hannah, we all had kind of different experiences, right? So Lou saw it in IMAX, which is insane. I would literally have a heart attack. I saw it in a regular movie theater, like a normal person. And Hannah, you as a normal person in the midst of a global pandemic, saw it on Disney Plus. With a little premiere access. What was it? I mean, this is Marvel's first return to the cinematic part of the universe in quite a while. What was it like doing that, but from your house? And I know we've got some new streaming numbers too, which I'm gonna rattle off in a second. But I want to hear from you what that was like from home. Was it weird?
I suppose not really, because we've already done the shows so far, and mm-hmm. by this point we're already more than halfway through the third show. So I was more kind of acquainted to it, I guess, by now. But also it kind of made it feel like I was watching a Disney Plus show when I was watching the movie. But yeah, I'm not mad at it, but I'm definitely excited to like get back to the theater for like Shang-Chi and Eternals and No Way Home.
Yeah, absolutely. So the numbers look like $80 million gross on opening weekend, $60 million from the Disney Plus platform. So Hannah, you were not alone. Watching from home. Did you feel like you were back in it though? I gotta say, for me, it was nice. Like WandaVision, I loved WandaVision, love Loki, love Falcon Winter Soldier, of course. But they do feel like TV shows to me. Yeah. Going back to the theater really felt like just getting like right back into it, right? Like right where we left off. Like this is what makes it cool. It's everybody coming together and watching a dumb Marvel movie, which we all know is dumb, but we love it anyway. Did it have that same feeling to you? Like you said, it kind of felt like it was a TV show.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like Black Widow is a weird one because it's like it's hard to say that you are back into it because it is like a prequel and it's a character who's dead. So what?
Spoilers. Spoilers.
I'm sorry. I know it's only been 2 years. I feel like if this was happening with Shang-Chi, it might have been a different experience to watch it at home. But yeah, Black Widow, I feel like it's a different conversation to have.
Interesting. I want to know more about your introduction to the MCU as a whole. Were you always a comic book fangirl? Were you just kind of like accidentally picked it up? You saw Iron Man once and then you were just like, sure, I'll watch these things now. Like, how did this start? Because this is all, by the way, folks, again, another wizard behind the curtain. This is a very transparent transition to get Hannah to talk about her MCU ranking in just a few minutes. But first thing I want to do is know how this happened to you, Hannah. How did you end up being a nerd?
My dad, definitely my dad. He loves like Star Wars and X-Men. Like he definitely brought me up with watching those movies, and X-Men eventually like transitioned into like when Iron Man like came out and then like the Avengers and stuff like that. Like the Avengers is definitely one of my like big like kind of moments for me of being like, oh my God, this is so exciting.
Cool.
especially with like having that with like my dad. It's a really cool like bonding thing. I feel like a lot of like people probably have that with like their parents who introduced them to that. It's a cool bonding experience. So yeah, just ever since then I've been on the MCU train.
and with that, what did Black Widow mean to you? We talked about it in the open a little bit before you joined. Lou and I were never big Marvel people growing up. We just weren't big comic book guys. We were more, you know, on the sports side of things, like dummies on that side. And then I accidentally watched Infinity War because I got my appendix out and I had to leave the house and it was just something to do. And I said, wow, that's pretty freaking cool. And then I watched everything during quarantine because why wouldn't you?
That's so cool.
And I got to see, and it was just one of those things where I was like, Endgame, I knew Endgame was coming out. And I said, well, I should probably go to this on opening night because it seems like it's going to be a big global event. And I'm not actually going to care that much, but it's going to be really fun to do that with the world. Lou watched all the movies. I think he saw Iron Man once in 2009 because his dad turned it on TV. And then he watched all the movies during quarantine, right? Because it just seemed like a thing that everybody was doing. So for somebody who was really indoctrinated into it, right? Like growing up.
Yeah.
Black Widow was probably a way cooler experience for you because you knew this character way more than we did.
Yeah, I tweeted this right after I got done watching it, like actually watching it sober, was just, I didn't really realize how much I cared about Natasha until watching the movie, because, you know, it was kind of like a moment where in perspective, I was like, wow, this is like the first superhero that I saw myself in. Like, we always had the X-Men movies, but let's be honest, the treatment of women in those movies aren't the greatest, especially, you know, the first trilogy. And I'm not to say that Natasha has been treated amazing in the MCU, but
we can scratch Iron Man 2 from that list.
She's definitely been yes, she's definitely been a more supporting player than those characters in those movies, and especially with the way that she isn't just like, you know, a damsel or a love interest or like anything like that. So definitely had that moment of wow, she's finally, you know, the lead. She's not supporting to a guy, and she's leading her own movie. And it was like this moment that I had like towards the end of the film, and I was very like emotional about it. I was like, wow, this is like hitting me all at once. But yeah, it's just really cool to see that, you know, it finally happened.
That said, were you satisfied with the story they told, or were you looking for more Nat in the story?
I'm very satisfied with the story they told. I understand why people are saying like, oh, she kind of took a backseat to her own film, but I feel like that mostly probably comes from people who really like Florence Pugh. Because I also really like Florence Pugh. But I don't think that she was ever sidelined. I think that she's very much the main character, and I think it's very much her story.
When are we going to learn about Budapest?
I know, right?
Are we going to?
That's very frustrating to me, because they kept mentioning Budapest, whatever. And then they just never gave an explanation. I feel like that was like a lot of people's interest for this movie too. A lot of people were probably like, oh my God, we're finally going to learn about Budapest. And they still were like, actually.
Did it feel like it to me? It felt like, and I'm just kind of like finally thinking about what it felt. It felt like the Ralph Boner. To me, like it felt like this big thing, right? And then you were just like, oh really, we're making a dick joke, like that's what we're gonna do with this.
By the way, that is just the worst thing about WandaVision and just the MCU's like thing of wasting great actors, especially like an actor like Evan Peters, and like you're kind of like, people think you're setting up to be a villain, like an actor who is very much like,
he's no joke.
Yeah, he's amazing, especially in like villainous roles. I'm like, how did you, why, what was the point?
I imagine you're an American Horror Story fan as well.
I am a huge American Horror Story fan.
Something about your whole setup looks like you would be
my American aesthetic Horror Story fan.
I think it's one of the interesting pieces, and we've gotten on the MCU for Dummies Twitter account, we've gotten into some trouble. Lewis has gotten us into some trouble with the DCEU fans who are upset that we don't necessarily like their movies. But what I find to be interesting about the difference between the MCU and the DCEU, and this is something I was thinking about, and I was not able to put it in tweet form because it's just impossible, was that I don't feel like the MCU leans on extremely heavily popular or well, I don't know, they're definitely well known, but the overtly popular actors and actresses, 100%. I don't feel like the MCU leans on them. I feel like they pick and choose more from their B and like A minus list, while the DCEU just jams in A list actors over and over and over again until it sticks.
Especially more recently, you know, we've seen it with like, I think Tom Holland's the most like shining example of like finding like kind of no names to be these huge characters. And I think that's why I'm so passionate about like not casting Emily Blunt and John Krasinski for Fantastic Four. I think that if you went out and got a whole cast of no names and brought, like, gave them this platform, this opportunity, and I'm like, Tom Holland is the like embodiment and perfect Spider-Man, and like, basically nobody knew who he was.
Yeah,
and it's like, why can't we do that with other huge MCU characters?
Absolutely. I mean, even if you look at all of, I mean, like Paul Bettany, a guy who everybody said his career was over, right? Elizabeth Olsen, who nobody could pick out of a hat if they had to, right? Before Godzilla, I suppose, King of the Monsters. Yeah. I think she was in that, right? But like these kind of like A minus B list actors and actresses are really what makes, I think, the MCU so much fun, because they really get to grow into the roles and they get to be that character, instead of, you know, Ben Affleck is a a very good actor, right? And maybe, like, I think he was a fine Batman, but it's just, like, weird to see Ben Affleck be Batman.
Oh, it's very weird. Right? I mean, that whole controversy when he was cast and everyone being like, okay.
I'd rather him do more Oscar-winning movies than be Batman.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the time, like, the controversies happen and then they prove us wrong and, like, Ben Affleck happened and we actually saw him in the movie and I was like, well, I mean, it's kind of what I feared it would be.
Yeah, it was fine, which you don't want. You want the guy to be able to live it, right? Like, I don't know. There's just something about that. But I want to pick a little bit more of this Black Widow scab before I jump ship and start grilling you on your rankings, because there's there's grilling to be had. Do not think that I won't. Before I do though, Lou, anything from you? Or are you just taking it all in? You're like a big sponge over there.
I know, I've been Mr. Little Quiet over here. Well, you guys don't even know that I'm over here. No, it's been really good conversation. One thing I'll add is when I was in the movie theater, somebody stood up at the end. They said, oh, I wish I would have just streamed this so I could have paused it and went to the bathroom, which you can just see the pandemic fatigue.
I didn't know my really dad showing. Went to the theater.
You can really see it showing that people's bladders have shrunken because of the ability to pause the streaming episodes now. But no, Ken, I was waiting for the MCU setup for the rankings. Hannah, what I'll ask you is, before Ken sets up for the rankings, based on your story with your dad and Iron Man and Avengers, it seems like a lot of your ranking is emotionally given, and I think that's totally fine. I would just ask the question of Captain Marvel very high up, and then also what led into you putting Black Widow at number 10, and then how would you defend against Black Widow for people that are putting it like all the way at the bottom near like the Hulk? Do you think there's a case for that?
I mean, I get it. I do, because like I said before, it is for a character who's dead and it doesn't feel like we're kind of progressing in the story for, you know, the MCU going forward. It kind of feels like a weird start to phase four. So I get it. I definitely do. But also it's like the people who are doing that, they're men mostly.
What?
It's the same thing with Captain Marvel. If you look at women's, like, you know, MCU rankings, I feel like more often you'll see Captain Marvel like higher up, and it's because, you know, the movie's kind of tailored towards women, so I feel like there's more that we're going to connect with in it. I get it. I'm not like mad if someone does put those movies like lower, but yeah. What was the other question?
It was about WandaVision, but I think we can hold it for when Ken asks about the rankings.
Yeah, because
I had one more thing just to add on. So yeah, bringing up the, like, introducing the topic of, do you think Black Widow was a good move? Like, do you think it was done right for a woman in lead, a woman as number two? Honestly, there was really only two men, and one of them was fat and made fun of himself the whole time.
He looked, I gotta say,
he got big for that role.
I looked at the person next to me who came to watch the movie with me, and the first thing I said when we saw him on the screen, I said, he looks like he smells. And then the whole story revolved around him being smelly. I was like,
yeah, really funny. But this movie was very, like, all the Widow's women. Evil Guy, man. Taskmaster, woman. David Harbour, man. But it's, like, reminiscing of a lot of other progressive movies we see out there that are very women-driven, very refreshing. It felt different than Captain Marvel. And I'm wondering if you felt like it was same. Was it done better? Were there lessons learned here? Or do you think it was just like a different flavor and it, like, that's some of the reason why we're having so much success?
I think it's weird that Captain Marvel kind of got this like stamp of like wokeness on it. Because this movie definitely seems like it's handling more, you know, of a like women's story than Captain Marvel did. Captain Marvel isn't like purely focused on like, you know, women's issues. And I think it's a core story element in Black Widow. So it's weird to me how, you know, men are looking at the two.
Men just are, Hannah. We just, you know, it just is what it is.
But yeah, I think Black Widow did an amazing job at, you know, being great representation, especially, you know, for the movie taking so long. You know, I think this is the only way to kind of, you know, make up for that is having the movie just be, you know, completely led by women, like 100%.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just really exciting.
Fair enough. Ken, do your thing.
Yeah, I want to stay on that front, because there were points that felt to me unfinished with Nat's story. I mean, I know we talked about it, right? Did she get enough play in her own movie, right? But just the added pressure of being that big return to the movie. It took a year to get back. It ended up being Black Widow, right? A story that we know wasn't really going to push anything forward. But for the fans who were so upset that during Endgame we didn't get a second funeral, right? But I think two funerals in a superhero movie is like too many sometimes.
Unheard of.
But you got the Tony Stark funeral. You did not get like any Nat send-off other than Hulk, who we suppose was the love canon. We don't know. We don't know about this anymore.
Very weird.
It's very uncomfortable. The only thing we got was him throwing a bench across the river, right? Like, that was Nat's mourning period. She didn't get a funeral. She got a whole damn movie, though.
Yeah. Right? I still think that she should have got a send-off in Endgame.
How many funerals can you have, Anna?
I don't know. I feel like you could have had her send-off during Tony's. I feel like
I think that's definitely fair. I mean, and I suppose Hawkeye and Wanda had, like, their little, like... I wish they could, you know, they could be here, and then Wanda gave us a weird, you know, they do. You know, and brought him back from the dead because she's a great person, but, you know, making it happen. What is grief?
Gone mad.
What is grief but love persevering, you know? We're going to get into the rankings right now.
Okay.
And the first question I have about the rankings is, Black Widow is a solo movie. Black Widow's not going to have two more movies after it, right? So let's cut out Iron Man 2 and 3. Let's cut out Thor Dark World and Thor Ragnarok. Let's cut out Captain America Winter Soldier, Captain America Civil War, right? Let's talk about the initial solo movie. A lot of the MCU actually is initial solo movie, right? When you cut out some of the sequels and you say, okay, we don't need a Wasp, we have an Ant-Man, right? We don't need a Ragnarok, we have a Thor. Where to you, Black Widow, if I'm looking at your rankings, and folks, you can find these rankings that we keep teasing and that we're talking about at Rejected Hat on Twitter. I believe she tweeted them out on July 10th. So you can take a look, see there. But when it comes to solo films, Hannah, you have Black Widow. I'm counting and vamping as I count. You have it 1, 2, 3, 4. Fifth on the solo movie list behind Homecoming, Iron Man, Captain Marvel, and Black Panther. Why does it fall there for you? Ahead of Thor, ahead of Hulk, which we maybe don't have to count.
Don't ask that question.
Ahead of all of these other solo films, Doctor Strange, Captain America, why does it come in at number 5 for you, which is pretty high?
Yeah, I feel like most of my MCU ranking really is just off how it affected me, like, emotionally. And this movie just really got me. Like, I was definitely, like, bawling my eyes out watching this movie.
Well, your whole room is red, so you are in the red room, and you're wearing red, so you're very, like, Black Widow-esque.
Yes.
When you compare Black Widow and Captain Marvel, why Captain Marvel over Black Widow? And do you see that changing in the future at any point?
I don't see it changing. I think Captain Marvel might be a little low on the list that I posted right now, actually, if I'm being honest.
Hot damn, Hannah.
It's one of my most rewatched MCU movies. And really? Every single time I watch it, I cry. Like, every single time that montage happens of Carol, like, yeah, you know, lighting up and, like, getting up. I can't praise it enough. But I think I have it above Black Widow right now because I've watched it more. Black Widow could grow on me over time. Not to say that, like, I don't like it right now, but this happens with me with a lot of MCU movies. Like, I watch it, like, once or twice, and then I'm like, okay, yeah, that's where I have it in my ranking. But then, like, over, like, a few years, if I, like, see that I rewatch it more, notice more things in it, then it'll move up. But I think right now Captain Marvel has it as higher for me because I've had more time with it.
Interesting. I'm fascinated to hear a little bit about why Spider-Man is in your top 10 twice. It's number one, Far From Home. And what I think is interesting is Homecoming comes in at 6, I think, if I'm looking at it. Or 7, I should say. And I think many people would consider Homecoming to be superior to Far From Home.
Yeah, Far From Home is definitely a hot take.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. It is definitely a hot take. And it's definitely a hot take at number one. I mean, there's no denying that, Hannah. Is it just because you started dating Spider-Man in London that you have this as number one? Is this just a total life experience? Are you Zendaya?
It's true. I'm MJ.
Oh, my God.
No, Far From Home. I always say this on Twitter. I have issues with Far From Home, and there. 2019 was a weird like year for me for my favorite movies, because both of my like top two movies of the year was It Chapter Two and Far From Home, and I have big issues with both of these movies. But
I don't think I finished It Chapter Two yet. It's about 4 days long, is it not?
It's very long, but it's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Oh gosh, we got so much to unpack here.
but there's just. The stuff in them that I love it so much that I can look past those other things. And also, yeah. Far From Home was kind of a thing where I was just like not having a good time in life. I was just very sad and kind of just not it. But then I went and seen Far From Home, and I just remember being in the theater, and it was like a midnight showing, and I just like had the best time ever.
And that was our first time out post Endgame, right? So that had to feel pretty good.
Yeah. So I was definitely ready to kind of have like a breather from the MCU, because Endgame is a lot. And From Home was just exactly that. And also it came at a time in my life where I feel like I needed kind of like a movie to, you know, just make me forget about everything. Far From Home just means a lot to me in a way where it's like, it's a comfort movie. It became like an like automatic comfort movie that I put on like pretty often, and it just makes me feel good.
You have one of the first ranking lists that I've seen that includes the Disney Plus shows. Loki is not done yet. We are recording on Monday night. It will be over on Wednesday, and we will all watch with bated breath as they disappoint us and make the person in charge of the TVA another Loki.
That is why I don't have it on my list yet. I've seen a lot of people already log it on Letterboxd and put it in their list, and I'm like, it happened with WandaVision. I can't.
So we have two options, Hannah. We have two options. Either you get Ralph Boner and Loki is at the head of the TVA, or you get something cool and it's Kang or some other baloney that we don't know yet. Take me through what happens to your list if scenario A happens, if they boner us on the season finale. Where does Loki go on your list?
Oh, man. That's so hard, because I feel like Loki, it's like WandaVision, I liked WandaVision, borderline loved WandaVision, but like if the finale was bad or great, I don't think it would have like moved up my list like a whole lot. Okay. But with Loki, I've loved every single episode of Loki. Like, I'm head over heels in love with Loki. So right now Loki would probably be in like my top 5 somewhere on my list. And if the finale
who are you
is
bumping
bad,
out?
Yeah, you got to kick somebody out.
Iron Man, Captain Marvel, Infinity War.
It's
going
to have to be Black Widow, because that's 10.
Oh, wow. Yeah, wait. Widow would have to fall. So she's saying, Lou, if it falls in the top 10,
okay, gotcha.
Widow is going to fall out of the top 10, which is harsh. It's tough for Black Widow, who didn't get a funeral in Endgame, and then comes out 2 days, comes out like 4 days before the finale of Loki, and everybody's going to kick it right out of its top 10. Hannah, that's on you, okay? That's on you.
They used a Hayley Kiyoko song in Loki.
They did. It's just such a good show, man. Honestly, it has been a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And I want to get your thoughts on that. And we're going to wrap up with a Widow chat as well. Lou, where are we with time? I feel like Hannah and I could go on for many, many years.
We're doing good. Maybe like 10 minutes. We're doing good.
I can handle that. Lou, do you have anything before I get into my final line of questioning so I can the witness off the stand?
No, you keep going.
Okay. All right. Let's continue on this ranking path really quick, because I just have a couple more questions. We need to talk about Ragnarok a little bit.
Okay.
And And I understand that you're, and let me be clear to anybody listening. Movie rankings are based on personal preference alone. And if you are like having like a very in-depth, deep, passionate hatred over somebody because of their rankings of like God superhero movies, you're a fucking weirdo. Okay. So like, just leave that alone. Okay. It's just very strange to me. But Hannah, what the fuck? Ragnarok belongs higher on your list. What is up with that?
Oh man. Okay. Ragnarok is one of those movies where it was a far from home for me at some point.
Okay.
But then, because my sister loved it a lot, so we went and seen it in theaters like I think 7 times.
Oh my gosh.
And yeah.
Oh god, I'm sorry.
Jesus.
You'd go crazy if you knew how many times I went and seen Birds of Prey and Far From Home. Okay. I went and seen them both 9 times. I know.
what movie pass do you have?
Yeah, you on AMC Stubbs over there? What's going on?
I actually worked at a movie theater for 2 years. So that's
classic.
Solid.
That's out.
Real solid.
Yeah. What was I?
Ragnarok.
Ragnarok. It was
Ragnarok. Ragnarok. Yeah. So we went and seen it that many times, and with those times, I noticed like things like in the movie that I was like, I don't know if I would have noticed that if I wasn't like a psycho and would have just saw it like twice.
Fair enough.
So Ragnarok has been one of those movies for me where I'm like, if I watch it, I'll notice things that like people most likely won't notice, and it bothers me.
That's interesting. Yeah, I just think, I mean, I have not seen any of these movies 9 times. The one I've definitely seen Endgame the most, I think, now that like I'm looking at this list again.
Endgame's one of the ones that I've watched the least, because it's really so emotionally draining.
I just love the culmination of the whole thing. Now I feel like I know enough where I can enjoy it every time I watch it, so mm-hmm. I don't mind putting it on, and I don't mind. I also have like a weird watch order. I know people like to do it in a specific way, but to me, there is nothing more satisfying than watching Ragnarok, Infinity War, and Endgame back to back to back.
Oh, just because, like,
because of the post-credit scene of Ragnarok leads straight in. It feels so good. I know people want to like throw Ant-Man and the Wasp in there, but I'd rather throw that movie in the trash so I didn't have to watch it.
I agree.
So Ragnarok is a little bit lower on your list. Both the Spider-Men are very high up. And maybe you just hate Thor because like he's all up in your bottom bunch.
I love Thor. I do.
Do you?
I do. But the thing is, okay, my issue with Thor Ragnarok mostly is that I'm a huge Taika Waititi fan. So going in, I definitely expected a Taika Waititi movie. And it is a Taika Waititi movie, but you can tell that he didn't write it. And you can tell that they definitely had like a script, and Taika was like, actually, I don't really like what you wrote. I'm just gonna pick the colors as much as I can.
They were like, what colors do you want? And he was like, I want that whole thing to be green and this whole thing to be red. Thank you.
Yeah. So that's why I have a little bit with Ragnarok. But with the other Thor movies, I'm actually a really big defender of the first Thor movie. I really enjoy that movie. So,
you have it in the top 20 of your
24 MCU. I more recently came to a thing where I was like, I actually really like that movie, so I should probably move it up. I just haven't yet. But Dark World...
Irredeemable. It really is such a
nothing movie, and it's like the only like thing that I think is worth watching about the movie is Thor and Loki's relationship, because I think that's actually the best it's ever been in any of his movies. But the movie around that relationship is boring. So
yeah, I don't think anybody would disagree with you on that one. That feels totally fair. Okay, enough of your rankings. We appreciate your defense.
Is this gonna be your last question, Ken? Because I got a prelude.
Yeah, go ahead. I got two questions left. One's about Loki, one's about Black Widow, and then I just want to talk to you about, you know, general gardening and things.
Okay, then let's save that. Can you just talk to us a little bit about the art that's behind you and the process that you've done? Because there are really amazing fan art pieces. So give you a platform here. Go off.
I wish I knew the artist.
Me too, because I'd buy.
I don't. I could ask my friend who sent them, but on my friend's YouTube channel, we started doing WandaVision, Falcon Soldier, and Loki reactions, and he sent these as very nice gifts. And also we do Daredevil, so there's Daredevil.
That's awesome.
Very nice gifts to say, I know.
That's very cool.
He had a good time reacting with me.
Are you in a closet?
No, this is actually a door in my room.
I see that.
Because I'm actually, this closet behind me, again, wizard behind the curtain. There's a closet back there. I'm planning on making that a little bit of a recording studio, and I was going to ask you how it turned out. Apparently, it's just a door. We don't know where it goes.
It's just a corner.
It has never opened. The door opens to, it's like a third story door, and there's nothing outside of it. You just drop straight down.
It's the door from Middleton Schwartz. Anyone that actually watched that, you'll get it.
All right, I got one more other question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because now I'm going. You got a nice picture of Sam and Bucky behind you. Ken on the podcast believes that there was a romantic connection the entire time. Did you at any point think they were going to kiss during Falcon and the Winter Soldier?
Multiple times.
Really? At one part?
Multiple times. Okay, so the whole like couples, it's literally couples therapy, what they did in the second episode. Yes. I mean, Sam literally grabbing Bucky and making them sit like thigh by thigh. I mean, yeah. Girl, there's,
yes.
I can't. And then... Yeah, and then rolling like around in like the grass and just sitting there for a moment and like
call me by your
at
name?
Each other.
Yeah,
literally, they sat there and looked at each other for a moment. They locked eyes. There's no denying that there was something.
Well,
going
apparently there is because Anthony Mackie.
Oh yeah, Anthony Mackie has some words, but we can ignore it.
And we don't know exactly what they mean. We've talked about this maybe 19 times on the podcast now.
So strange.
What the fuck is he talking about?
I think he had a good point because he was like kind of leading the way of like toxic masculinity, like not every like, you know, close male relationship has to like, you
yeah,
know,
totally
be,
fair,
be, like romantic. But then he just like kept talking.
He sounded very Seinfeldy. He said like, yeah. He was like, not that there's anything wrong with that, but not every time I don't have to kiss everybody. It was just very strange.
He thought he was doing the final monologue in episode 6 again. And they're like, no, you don't have the costume on. You can't do that. All right, Ken, I got one more question.
Yeah, shoot.
Give me three people from the MCU, actors. So actually, you could do a combination between who they are in the movies and who they are in real life. Three people that you would most like to host for dinner.
Wow.
Oh, man.
And what are you cooking?
Yeah, what are you making them?
It's funny that you said wow, because I think I put Mobius in there. Oh,
wow.
Mobius and Mobius.
If we're not going to get like an actual like backstory like episode for him, which I don't think the finale is going to be that.
Oh my God, imagine. And
I wanted an episode like totally dedicated
to
him.
You would think that it would have been episode 5, right? The penultimate is generally a look back. It's generally a flashback episode.
We got a good part where he said, burn to the ground. It's so strange. I had to rewatch it like 3 times. It's like, what are you gonna do? And he's like, burn it to the ground.
It's Owen
thanks
Wilson
for the spark.
It's so strange. Anybody else? I don't mean to do a full sidebar here, but does Owen Wilson remind you of like a really grown up Dax Shepard?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
It's like
right?
he's like a better Dax Shepard. He's like more funny.
Like,
more
and like I want
talented.
Owen Wilson to be married to Kristen Bell instead of Dax Shepard.
Absolutely.
Okay, right. Guess number two.
Oh man,
and they're going to be in the character that they play, but you're factoring in their personality. Yeah, I changed the rules.
Mobius is the first to arrive. He knocks. Mm-hmm. I hit the desk. Lou, I'm sorry. He knocks. He comes in. You go,
no
hi, Mobius. Welcome to the house. What are you going to do? And he goes, burn it to the ground. And then he just runs into the kitchen. So now, who's next? Who's right behind him? This is like a bad episode of Whose Line Is That?
I think Valkyrie. I love
her. Oh, that's fun. She's going to be drunk the whole time.
She'll be fun. I love her. I think that she's a very interesting character, too. Where it's like, you don't really know much about her.
Am I making that up? What's her name?
Tessa Thompson.
Tessa Thompson. Emma Thompson is that white British lady.
Yes, she is. and then maybe... I'm like looking at my list now. I'm like,
who's gonna be the ringer?
Oh, I have a surprise guest that's gonna show up.
Oh, Talos from Captain Marvel.
Cool.
Oh, that'd be funny.
He's fun. He's a fun guy.
But is he as Talos or is he like in disguise as someone else in the MCU?
Yeah, is he Nick Fury or is he Talos? All right, cool.
He's Talos. Talos is cool enough.
All right, then you go to close the door, but you hear a big loud noise and your door comes crashing into the house. You turn around and it's Natalie Portman with Mjolnir and you go, where were you for the last decade, Natalie?
I'd happily open my house to
her. Where was she? What is she
doing?
You just
give her the house.
I think so. I think she
takes it. Have you seen those set pictures of like how jacked she got? Oh my God.
I mean, she was always out of this world. Mm-hmm. But now she's like, it's too
okay,
much.
Okay, I'm on
it's
Google. Natalie Portman, muscular. Oh, yeah. Okay, and then as you're closing the door, then Korg.
Okay, the house is getting full.
Korg appears.
Korg.
New Master 69 shows up. And he's like, hey guys. And that's the dinner.
I'd 100% be playing Fortnite with him by the end.
But instead of Korg, it's just Taika Waititi in the mocap suit.
The mocap suit.
Yeah.
Oh, also, dear. I'd love to play Fortnite with him.
Yeah, I mean, who would be upset about that?
All right, Ken, that's all I have. You go.
Yeah, that was fun. I did enjoy that little Whose Line Is That Anyway episode in the middle of the discussion. Okay, I have two questions left. Like I said, give me your final episode 6 exclusive Loki prediction. How does this end? Where do we go?
Okay, if I'm going to like go out there for a prediction.
Yeah, no, go stupid on me. Don't give me that it's going to be a Loki. give me something crazy.
In my heart, I really do hope it's Korg. Not Korg. Oh my God, Kang, can you imagine if like Korg is behind?
No, no one is imagining that.
I would die. I'd love that actually. That's my prediction. It's Korg.
Okay, there it is. Lock it in. It's Korg.
In my heart, I hope it's Kang, because I'm just so excited to see Jonathan Majors in the MCU. Yeah. I think that he's just one of the most talented people working right now, and I love him. So I'm
hot.
Definitely very, yes, very,
beautiful man.
Very attractive.
Beautiful man.
Very attractive person.
Fair enough.
So, yeah, I mean,
and what do you think happens here? Like, do you think they just show up and they go, oh, hi, Kang, and then, like, the credits roll? And then,
no,
like,
then Agatha comes out.
Post-credit scenes of Mobius going, wow, like that's it.
Realistically, I actually do think it's going to be a Loki variant that's working for Kang. Oh my God, I keep wanting to say Korg. Kang. No, my mind is like thinking about Korg and I keep wanting to say Korg. I think it's going to be like a Loki variant working for Kang. And I don't think that we will see him. I think that we'll get a name drop and that will be it.
So, okay, that's interesting, because I'm now onto, I think it more than likely is going to be another Loki, but I believe you're just going to get another, like, Renslayer interference run, and that it could be Kang, but you'll never meet him in the show, that type of thing. Who knows? Lou, how about you? I mean, this is our last chat before Loki drops on Wednesday. Where are you at?
The only thing I hold on to is there's this story going around of this guy who asked Jonathan Majors in New York City. He was walking around. He's like, you going to be in Loki? And Jonathan Majors is like, I don't know what show that is. I don't know what it is. But I think it would be weird. But also, like, they showed Thanos so early, even though he looked crazy. Yeah. He looked like Grimace, like from McDonald's for like in his first appearance. And he was like, fine, I'll do it myself.
They didn't even have Josh Brolin yet.
Yeah, it was just this bad CGI thing.
So I don't know. Like, I think you could just show a blue arm or a purple arm, whatever color he is, and I think people would go crazy. It feels like the thing that makes most sense is probably a Loki variant, which is unfortunate. It's probably classic Loki, but
yeah,
I don't
know. Definitely feels like it's Richard E. Grant.
Oh my God, I would love if it was classic Loki. Like, that would be.
It
I
makes
just
sense.
Wish they like put him in like nicer pants. Like, the classic Loki suit is like really cool, but it's disconcerting the amount of bulge that you
it's
get from Richard
like
E. Grant.
It's just like a gold diaper.
Yeah, it's weird.
Did you guys see that tweet he put out? He was like, to my father. Yeah, it's like, to my father who questioned. He's like, well, here I am today. Yeah, it's most likely going to be him. I'm just hoping Loki gives us like a full-on entree and then something from the dollar menu in the season finale, and that this is not like 40 minutes, which I think they'll do us right, because the last couple of episodes have been 60 minutes, and there's been less credits.
Don't give me a 28-minute episode here to round this out. That would be really upsetting.
There's been less credits than like Wanda and Falcon and Winter Soldier, which was like a 45-minute episode, but only like 20 of it is actual show.
WandaVision was like because Loki, I've had this conversation with a few people where I'm like, Loki hasn't set up a million like plot lines right. to like conclude in the finale, so that's why I have more faith in these finales, because Falcon Winter Soldier did the exact same thing. They set up a bunch of shit so that in the finale it's like an hour, but it's like we have like 40 million plot lines to like close.
Yeah, they're like,
so it's like most of it is like check marks.
You only wish that they maybe like finished writing one of them before they like did the reshoots for that dang show.
So a lot going on there.
Can I interject? Can I really quick? Falcon and Winter Soldier. What were your thoughts on the Power Broker?
Oh my god, that is literally like the most obvious reveal.
But were you happy with it?
No, I hate her. She's literally like one of the worst female characters in the MCU, and she's so boring. And especially with the
She will never not be the girl from Revenge to me. And, like, it just is like that's just who she is.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. I don't know why Lou always brings this up.
Oh, because I know it bothers you. It also just sucked.
And also, like, that post-credit scene of them trying to be like, oh my god, she's so cool, walking out of, like, the thing. He's like, more to come with her, and I'm like, I don't care.
It felt like we were back on ABC, okay? It felt like we were back in, like, sexy teen drama.
It felt very
drama.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Very
Hate
Agents
it.
Of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, and that show was bad. I tried. I really did. I so really did tried. And,
imagine
and
producing like, seven seasons of a show, and then your new boss is like, yeah, it's not canon.
Oh, that's gotta suck so much.
That guy probably drinks himself to sleep every night. He's like, he said it wasn't canon. He said it was all those years.
The new MC, the new X-Men casting is probably felt the exact same way. Yep. I mean, especially after seeing Evan Peters come back.
Oh, man. Ralph Boner, I believe you mean. Yeah. Okay, so that's Loki. We know where it will rank on your list, depending on how she finishes. Give us your final thoughts on Black Widow as we wrap this bad boy up. I thought it was a really good, I mean, to me, it was, and Lou and I talked about this in the open, it was some of the best hand-to-hand combat we've seen in a long time. It was one of the funnier movies we've seen in a long time.
Yeah, cast in a solo movie.
It was like really, really, really good chemistry with the full cast. Even that pig who had the fake die was really good. But like, it just seemed to work, and I think it ranks pretty high up on my list, to be honest, in solo movies, just because it was everything you could want. I definitely still want more color around Nat. Unfortunately, I think she's been laid to rest for good, although her memory will continue to live on. But Hannah, final thoughts on Black Widow. Did it do what it set out to do? Did it hit the notes for you? Are you satisfied with Nat's end? And are you looking for anything more from the new Black Widow characters that we met in the movie?
I mean, I'm super satisfied with this movie. I continue to like, every time I like think about it more and more, I like it more. Especially with like the opening credits scene. I know we haven't talked about it this entire podcast.
Yeah, Bill Clinton is now canon in the MCU.
That was a very funny moment for me because me and my sister were watching it and she goes, is that Bill Clinton?
Yeah. I couldn't believe it. I was like, I was just as shy. I was like, wait a second. Are they saying that Bill Clinton exists in the world with Thor? Like him and Vladimir Putin are two guys who exist alongside Korg and the Hulk, right? Like Bill Clinton is just sitting in the Oval Office. This giant green man running around town beating the shit out of his Secretary of State's daughter while he's trying to like get the Abomination Man all set. And Bill Clinton's just like, wow, this is crazy.
I feel like that's like a huge point that like everyone is talking about with the movie is the opening credit scene. And I think it's like one of my favorite things in the MCU because it doesn't feel MCU at all.
No,
It kind of makes me sad that the movie never really got to that kind of level of darkness ever again in the movie. because I feel like it's really interesting. And, you know, the movie does have something to say, but it can, like, feel very surface level with that message because it doesn't really go any farther than just kind of the surface. I'm really excited to see where we go forward with Yelena. I'm super excited to see her in Hawkeye, especially with that post-credit scene. It's going to be interesting. And also, I'm very excited for Hawkeye's show. I know a lot of people aren't. I don't love Hawkeye as a character in the MCU, but...
Cool. All right. You're good by us, then.
But I love Haley Steinfeld, and also I think just the premise sounds
cool. Yeah, no, I think it's going to be a pretty fun thing. I mean, we know, and we'll do a little bit. I know, I'm sorry, Lou, I'm going over time. I always do.
It's okay, you can have
what it is.
You have a couple more minutes.
Thank you, Louis. But
right to bed.
But like, we know we're getting Young Avengers eventually, so like Hawkeye's going to be really cool for that. And with the post-credit scene, it definitely seems like we are more than on our way to like a Thunderbolts or like Dark Avengers storyline as well. So I think Hawkeye is going to actually play like a fairly pivotal role in like what comes next.
I mean, for this setup for right. what we're going for. That's you crazy know what I mean? To think like, that Hawkeye isn't is like a pivotal nuts? Show.
Yeah, but like we know we're getting multiverse and we know what's going to set us up for that, right? We know Loki is going to be big. We know that, you know, Doctor Strange and Spider-Man and whatever else is going to get us through the multiverse, big setup. But then you have like this background thing where Julia Louis-Dreyfus and George Costanza are running around like signing up Dark Avengers. And at the same time, you've introduced now like a million children into the MCU to be Young Avengers. And those things are like very much happening on the sidebar. And mm-hmm. both of those topics are going to be in Hawkeye, which is really unfortunate, I think.
Oh, man. I'm excited to see where these shows continue to go, because they've all felt very different. And it's not what I expected at all. I definitely thought the shows were going to feel very MCU, and yeah. they really haven't. So let's see if they can continue the trend.
Which of those big three topics are you most excited for? Multiverse, Young Avengers, Dark Avengers, or the one that nobody's talking about, Secret War or Secret Invasion,
Secret Invasion. I don't know. I'm excited for all of them. I feel like the MCU has always just been this way, though. It's like, I feel like things have flip-flopped, though, because with the beginning of the MCU, it definitely felt like we were focusing more on like the grounded stuff, and then we got into the more kind of like, you know, spacey sci-fi kind of things, and now it feels like we flip-flopped, and now it seems like the main story that we're telling is very much like spacey crazy stuff, and we're kind of like taking the more grounded stuff into the background,
which I think is interesting because the grounded stuff now seems so real.
Yeah,
like the combat and the conversations and the characters in Black Widow just felt so real compared to what we see in Loki, because they're just like, you know, they're like out of time, like nothing makes any sense. So, and there's an alligator, so like who the hell knows? okay, Hannah, give me your best 60 plus second plug of anything you got going on. What do you want to share with the folks who are listening right now?
Okay, so if you want to watch me react to Loki, Falcon and Winter Soldier, WandaVision, and any other MCU show that's coming out, and also Daredevil, we're doing Daredevil, you can find me at Chili Boy Productions on YouTube with my friend Larry, and then I also co-host on Cinemania World. I have the Female Gaze show that I host myself there, so check that out. It's on stream platforms. And then also on all streaming platforms, I have a podcast called Robert Podcastin, where we talk about just Robert Pattinson.
Love it.
Oh, okay, I have so many more questions, but Lewis has given me strict orders that it's time for bed. So
we can talk another time if you want.
Yes. No. I have many Robert Pattinson questions, Robert Pattinson themed questions that I'd be fascinated to learn. Okay, Hannah. At Rejected Hannah on Twitter.
Yes.
Co-host of the Cinemania World podcast. Really, really, really thankful for you to hop on and talk to us a little bit about Black Widow, a little bit about your MCU ratings, a little bit about Thor Ragnarok, a little bit about Loki, and a little bit about Jeremy Renner and his uncomfortable nature as Hawkeye. So thank you again. Lewis, any parting words for our guest?
No, she's Rejected Hannah on Twitter, but accepted on our show.
Huge. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Hannah.